Hey, you found us on the internet, and welcome to Caching in the Northwest. This is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're trimming your constantly growing webbing from between your toes, we'll be caching in the Northwest.
That's right, and it's time, then, to bring in our Giga Gorilla. Some say he is the satellite whisperer. And others say he's counted to infinity twice. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
That's right. Everything that you have said is true. And I'm actually still counting on the second round. I'm getting ready for the third round.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's something to do. Keeps me busy. Keeps me off the street at night. All right. Well, you know what? It's a quick reminder here as well that we appreciate the support of our patrons, you guys who help keep this podcast coming each and every week. Thank you. Thank you very much. And at the end of the show, we will make sure that you are all appropriately named and thanked for the hard work that you do in supporting this show. So thank you.
We appreciate everybody there.
We do. We really do.
Yes, we do.
If you want to know more about supporting the show, click that Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website.
You know what else we appreciate?
What?
We appreciate contributions of GLOWs.
Mm.
That's the geocaching log of the week. GLOW, in case you weren't familiar with that. In case somebody just joined us for the first time and is about to hear their very first GLOW on the podcast. This week's GLOW comes from Dune Buddy, the Guinness Log Book of Records. The cache is GC1JE8J. How about that? And if you really want the log, it's GLR3B658. The GLOW reads this week, I tried finding this cache the day before after we visited the Guinness storehouse. I like it says the day before after.
Well, this is the day before.
The day before, after we visited
the Guinness. Or today, which is after we visited the Guinness.
But I think sampling a couple of pints of Guinness affected my ability to make the find. I went home, looked at the cache page, the map, and reread the description, convinced that if I was back in the area, I could make another attempt. We managed to be back in the area today, so I convinced my muggle wife to let me have another go at it. I really wanted to make this find not only for the smiley, but to be able to place the special badge in my profile next to the Caching in the Northwest podcast geocaching log of the week. That's a GLOW. Wanted that badge. It already earned. So he said, I also thought this would be fine 1500 and I could list it as a milestone. Sounds like a great plan to me. Of course, I was worried that having a few samples of Irish whiskey at the nearby Teeling distillery would equally affect my ability to find the cache. I revisited the site, narrowed down the search location to the most logical hiding places, and conducted my search. Eureka! I found the cache, signed the log, and earned the new badge. Upon arrival at our hotel, I logged my finds only to discover that this was smiley number 1499 and not 1500 as I had thought. Maybe I should have had one more or one less sample of whiskey before attempting the find.
Oh, so close.
So close.
But hey, you found the cache and you earned the badge. Very cool. That's a great GLOW.
So that's good.
Thank you very much, Dune Buddy, for sending that in. Very, very cool.
And, you know, as Wits End said, we need your GLOWs. So you can call them in. Call in to 253-693-TFTC with your very own GLOW in your very own voice. Or you can email it to feedback@cachingnw.com because, you know, we read a GLOW every week and sometimes we run low. And for the price of a latte a day, you can have a GLOW. Wait, no, that's not how it works. Sorry. I've been watching too many late night infomercials. Yeah.
Bad music playing. Yeah. The guilt trips.
It's like having a Jewish mother.
Mm. Well, here we are on Thursday night again. We've read our GLOW. We've gone through our intros. And
now what?
Astute listeners, viewers may notice that it's not just the threes of us tonight. We'd like to welcome a special guest tonight. So, Jesse, right?
Yes, Jesse.
Welcome to Caching.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for joining us, Jesse. We're glad that you could squeeze us in. It looks like you've really been making the rounds of all the social media geocaching stuff lately.
A little bit.
Now, Jesse,
you know, it's funny. I did the geocaching social media first. I've been having some local and national media now reaching out to me asking for some stuff. So
awesome.
You have priority.
Oh, yes. Aww.
Thank you.
I love that. So while you have all this great media attention, where do you call home? What's home for you?
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, I live, I don't know, maybe about 15 minutes, 20 minutes from the event venue.
Very cool.
Nice. Yeah. Faithful listener to WKRP, right?
Hey, good show.
Yes, the jokes never stop on that one ever since the Giga was announced. Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, Jesse, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself as a geocacher? We're going to get into the event planning and all that kind of part of your life. Mm. But, you know, folks are interested in knowing about you as a geocacher. So, you know, maybe share what geocaching experiences or preferences you have, like favorite cache types, favorite place you've been geocaching. The answer is Earth Cache, by the way.
Hey, Earth Cache is a good cache, right? Actually, a funny story. My first Earth Cache, I ended up in the hospital with 23 x-rays.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, that first step was a doozy?
Jesse.
It was right off of a building.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesse, so, you're doing it wrong.
I am doing it wrong. I ended up in the hospital the next day because I was too manly to go to the hospital that day. And, you know, we were still new cachers, so, you know, we've never had a first to find. Well, my wife and her sister Laura's with me, and, you know, we're all sitting in the ER and, you know, wrapping things up, and we get that dee-dee notification. And I'm literally in, like, they have me air cast on both legs. They are getting me crutches. They've wrapped my shoulders. I'm all, like, you know. I tore ligaments in both shoulders. I did all sorts of stuff.
It's the first to find.
No, at my first Earth Cache. So then, you know, I'm in the hospital and the dee-dee. Well, my wife looks and goes, oh, there's a new cache right next to where we live. I was like, what do you want to do about it? She looks at the doctor and goes, how quick can we do this paperwork? So they literally, the hospital staff helps wheel me out to my BMW. They help load me sideways into the back. I'm a big car. I'm a big guy. So they're helping load me in sideways, laying across the back seat of my 5 Series BMW. And we drive over there. It's at a baseball field. I'm like, okay, this should be fine. So then we have to go across the baseball field, through a little patch of woods, down a creek side, cross the creek, up the bank, and still, you know, a few more yards, and then dig and found our first to find cache. Thank you, cashing it out.
That is a story.
Yeah.
And you were on crutches with air casts?
I was.
And
two
both
crutches, air cast on both legs, shoulders wrapped up.
Shoulders.
And I told her, I was like, hey, will you all sign for me? They go, no. So they're like, they literally run ahead to make sure that no one beats us there, and literally I'm like hobbling along. I get there a half hour after they do. It was horrible
yet epic.
Yet epic. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Epic.
It sounds like a glow log.
I was just gonna say, we've just had the second glow of the evening right now.
It was horrible. Oh. But yeah, I haven't done many Earth caches since.
But what is your favorite type of cache to find, Jesse?
You know, really the same type that we put out. We put out most of our geocaches are, you know, we do a lot of events and we like to do themed events and put on a good show for people. But we just like to put out a traditional cache that's educational, that takes you to like a park, museum, historical site, and then share a location that you may have not known about. A statue, a monument, a work of art, a beautiful scenic view, something like that.
Very cool.
That's the majority of our caches, and honestly, that's what I like to find.
Awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
Those are fun. Well, you mentioned events, and there's hardly any events bigger than Geo Woodstocks right now, especially the one that's coming up this year.
I've heard there is one.
Right there in Cincinnati. I've heard there's one, too. And we're going to talk, I think, and rumor has it, a little bit about Geo Woodstock 2018 this here very evening on this here very podcast.
Oh.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise. I know.
Surprise, surprise.
Maybe you didn't know that. But before we go there, let's just pretend. Okay, we don't have to pretend. There actually are a lot of people who have never attended a Geo Woodstock. I know you're shocked about that.
You know, I'm not overly shocked because St. Charles, Missouri, this is my fifth one. I'm hosting my fifth.
Nice.
I'm a new guy to the game still. I just started gaming. I started doing geocaching in 2013, not even 5 years in.
All right.
So, you know, we're seeing a lot of logs come in of people that it's their first Woodstock.
All right. Well, okay, for those people who have never attended an event, maybe you could go through and describe what a typical Geo Woodstock event. You don't have to necessarily give away anything for this year, but let's kind of set the stage, tell people what to expect, give them a little preview of what a typical, if there is such a thing,
Geo Woodstock
event looks like. Okay.
We're getting a lot of logs from people that has actually never even been to a mega event, which now that's a little bit surprising that they set their first one as the Gig of Woodstock, but you know, I feel it's somewhat honoring and a blessing to be able to serve those people because, I hope that we can bring an expectation that they can share with their families and really, get their families more involved and, make it something passionate because we're passionate about it. You know, every mega event has its own feel, its own theme, its own brand identity. And to me, at least, in Woodstock, and this isn't our first mega, so, you know, we had to, you know, really step back and unlearn some things and reevaluate. But Woodstock's all about bringing cachers together, helping them discover your area, discover what your area is about. And for us, Cincinnati is about the art, history, and culture. You know, we have some cool attractions. We have a metropolitan city with a lot of cool stuff, but I'm all about letting the community know about the art, history, and culture here because I think it's cool enough that people's going to want to come back and bring their families and their friends and tell people about it, and that's how cool it is. So Woodstock's all about sharing a location. For a week, you know, whatever people come in. And then on that last wrap-up day, Saturday, Sunday, whatever day the event is, you know, the geocachers get together, they mingle, hang out, they get a bite to eat, you know, lunch is always available. There's typically seminars, sometimes live music, sometimes vendors. But you know, the seminars are a way to break ice. The music's a way to break ice. The vendors are there to help serve. But you know what? For me, at my very first mega, it was the vendors, and it was Bev at GX Proxy that really helped to break the ice for me. So, you know, it's Woodstock's a great way to break ice in comparison to other megas.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That is very cool. Now, Jesse, you mentioned your passion, and it comes through very clearly in the way that you talk about the event. So maybe you can share with us a little bit how you are involved in the organizing of Geo Woodstock 2018.
I'm co-hosting with Margaret. She's my counterpart at the Claremont County Convention and Visitors Bureau. Her and I jointly won bid on this. Woodstock's an event you bid towards. As my team says, though, I'm the dictator. Officially, my title, I think, is co-host and director.
I kind of like the title dictator, though.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Emperor?
Czar. Benevolent?
You know, now, you've probably never seen me at an event, but I always wear a crown. It's actually around here somewhere, but I will throw it on. My geocaching name is King AFK.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Very cool.
So sorry. So you're the benevolent dictator.
arrogant jerk.
Or arrogant jerk. So what kind of things does the arrogant dictator jerk do in support of the Giga event?
Sell 18 months of my life? No. You know, my my biggest role is calling the game plan. Developing the game plan, calling the shots, making the executive decisions. A lot of the work, I have no clue what's going on. None. You need to know, you know, about design stuff. Contact Amber. I know nothing. You need to know a question. You got a question about anything, contact Scott Miller. You post in a community group. Someone's going to jump on it. You have a question about, you know, how to volunteer and what the volunteers are. I don't even know. Like, I literally said, I made a list of like, hey, I think we need some volunteers in these spots. I looked at a map. I said, okay, you know, here's where I would put volunteers at the venue layout. Here's the side events that need volunteers. And here's how I'd structure it. Have at it. And there's the whole infrastructure's in place. There's other people taking care of it. So I feel bad when someone goes, hey, so what do you do? I'm like, I say yes and no on if people can do stuff, and that's it.
Well, it sounds like you've got an amazing team supporting you.
It is. Yeah, it's the community. You know, everyone from the ambassador group, the Geo Woodstock media team, the community group, and the whole community that rallies around. That's it.
That's great. It does take a whole team. You can't be a dictator without people to lead.
Dictate.
Right? To dictate.
Minions, if you will.
Okay, so you've mentioned that you've done all these mega events. Now, the big news, of course, this one was this event has hit Giga status. Did that change a lot of things for you in the way that you'd been planning previous events, change things for this event?
When it was awarded, no. And here's why. We had planned it to go Giga. When we submitted bid, we had already known it would go Giga, and there was no doubt in our heart or our mind. We held a MOGA in April 2016. It was a mega event. Some of the Woodstock Elder Group was in attendance because they knew my intentions for the future. They came to see what we were doing. A couple months later, I'm at a late night hangout at a mega event in Ohio, Area 51, and hanging with a couple buddies. And I'm like, you know, I personally believe that given the right location in the country, the right venue, the right marketing program, the right possibilities, the community would come together and make it happen. And so we submitted bid. We submitted bid with exactly what we thought it would take, you know, putting the pieces together. The Elder Geo Woodstock Elder Group accepted bid. We were awarded it, and you know, later it happened. Not 100% exactly how we expected. If you know the history of the ambassador team, the ambassador team was never in our marketing plan. We expected to go Giga without it. It just really made things more epic. Wow. One of the best yays I ever put out.
A shoot for the moon, huh?
That was it. It's, nice. We knew what we could do. Yeah.
Nice. Now, yeah. Probably not a surprise to you, but none of us have ever been to a Giga event before. Big surprise, right? Because there hasn't been one in America.
I haven't been to one.
What can our listeners expect to see and do if they go to Geo Woodstock 2018?
You know, actually, to tell you the truth, as we've all never been to one, I contacted the planning teams of a lot of the previous megas, mm-hmm. and I literally like drilled them and consulted them, and you know, a lot of the German worked with on other projects. So I think for a lot of the Europeans coming in, we're going to live up to the expectations of not just live up. I think we'll surpass them.
Wow.
But I mean that sincerely. And mm-hmm. I know that's a big statement to say, but I'm excited. I think they're going to be impressed with what's going on this side of the pond. And it's, you know, we are really, all of our events, if you ask anyone that typically does an AFK event, we bring a show. We roll out everything we can and we give it our all. Almost every single event, we theme it. And so, you know, this one's no different. We've started to really roll out and introduce the theme that we've kept a little hidden. If you've looked at the logo, you've seen a, you know, signal dressed as Cincinnatus, a Roman a senator from about 500 BC. And now all of a sudden we're announcing the Friday night's event. Just recently got changed to Roman Festival because things, I was still thinking small in some aspects. It was launched as Toga Party, you know, just come get together. Now we have some organizations that want to support it and maybe bring some other stuff in and make it more fun. So we just had to break the way we were thinking about it. A local town is throwing a street party. It's amazing. So many organizations local is working to build trails and tours through us. My local organized team that we utilize to build trails and tours with is literally working around the clock, averaging about 12 hours a day right now, working and planning and putting their regular jobs or anything else on hold. They've stepped up to the plate. As for Woodstock, we are committed 100% to keeping the feel and the expectation that Joe GPS set. And so when you come there, we're going to have a big lunch buffet. We're going to have some speakers. We're censoring every speaker, not because we believe that there's bad ones, but because we're going with, the most top notch that we can provide, the ones that people's going to be most excited about. We're introducing, so, you know, the geocaching media team, you know, all the different podcasters and media personalities out there, we're doing a meet and greet booth, something that's never really been introduced much. We're just bringing in every component that has ever made Woodstock big, even things that has not been done in a number of years, like Midnight Madness. You know, if we have the capacity or even have the slightest hint to pull it off, we put it on our game plan and work to make it happen, and we have. Right now, you know, we're a little over 2 months out, and I'm, as far as the Saturday programming and the week of, we could go right now. We're set. So, you know, other than putting registration packages together and handing them out, it's, I mean, everything's good.
Wow. Yeah, you had me at buffet, by the way.
And it's an American style fare, so you know it's gonna be like hamburgers, hot dogs, whatever. But we wanted to keep it a little bit of a picnic style feel. So it'll be honest, it helps keep the cost down so that you know the lunch is a little more affordable for more people to be able to participate.
A picnic with 5,000 of your best friends.
That's right. Yeah,
right. I mean, we only have about 1,000 lunch tickets sold already.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, Jesse, I had another question for you, and we'll get to it. But the way you've been describing things, it has me curious. Now, for the Land Monkeys, we've planned to come out and get to the event sort of the Friday night before, arrive sort of in town late Friday night and be there Saturday. And then we're going to spend the following week in the Cincinnati area exploring. But it sounds like there's a lot of stuff going on leading up. Like if somebody's planning their trip still, should they actually be planning to come before the event instead of staying after?
My personal suggestion, should I be making plans to travel for the event? And, you know, if you still have time to change it, let's say, I would come early. I would come the week before, the weekend before. We will have geocaching events and programming going on every day starting to, the weekend before. There's going to be park districts involved. There's going to be trail and tour launches that's not been announced yet. They're the entire week of, you know, we have deals that we haven't even announced yet, but, you know, we're at Coney Island. By the way, if you don't use your ride ticket, your ride wristband on Saturday, you can come Sunday and use it either or. Well, we also have discount tickets to the Cincinnati Zoo, ranked like number 2 or 3 in the nation. The Newport Aquarium, Kings Island Amusement Park. I think it's been rated number 1 seasonal amusement park a number of times, rated number 1 for kids area. I just got the email today, Cincinnati FC Soccer, which is expected to win their bid for Major League, to join Major League Soccer next year. Just gave us an invite and a discount offer for their game that week of. We have a deal with the Cincinnati Reds on Thursday. By the way, all those discounts are available all week. We worked out a thing with Cincinnati Parks that owns the Crone Conservatory. Butterflies in Madagascar. It's a butterfly show there. And, the Cincinnati Art Museum is I just literally got an email about this as well today. They're bringing in the terracotta warrior statues from China, showing them. By the way, the Cincinnati Art Museum is free. We have a geocache there. Go check it out. Log the cache. Check out these. And it's all free. Almost everything that's going to be available in Cincinnati that we're going to be listing on the site soon is either heavily discounted or free. And we'll probably even flag the free ones because a lot of the parks, museums, and historical sites is all free stuff. Man. So there's, and a lot of the discounts are the week of Woodstock only. Wow. One of the cool things though is the Taste of Cincinnati. It's the largest food festival in the nation, is going on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So bring a little extra cash, get your eat on. I know after the event that's on Sunday, after we do our Cido cleanups, I'm going to be downtown. So yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, Stark Casher in the chat says maybe I should add more time.
Come early, add more time. You can send me your thank you letter afterwards because it's good stuff. So I'm just kidding about the thank you letter. Send me a geocoin.
He's already planning to be there Tuesday to Tuesday and thinking about adding more time.
Tuesday to Tuesday is a sweet. You're going to be right there. So Tuesday night there's going to be the OKIC dinner. It's not announced yet, but for anyone that doesn't know, Cincinnati really does have the best chili in the world, Cincinnati style chili. And the Tuesday night venue, I can't announce it yet, but it's going to be at a chili venue.
Nice.
So Jesse, that's awesome. You've shared a lot of things that are really helpful for people to know if there is a muggle coming with them. All these things that you just listed off really the travel a lot more pleasant for people who maybe aren't into geocaching but are coming along.
I've had more than 100 letters, believe it or not, more than 100 letters between MOGA and Woodstock now that has come in from cachers concerned about what their family members can do that don't get into geocaching. That's why I listed off. So it's
tons. And yeah. I know I've seen a lot of those things that you mentioned on the website already. So
yeah,
more coming. Now, Jesse, so we talked about the muggle friends of cachers and family of cachers. What would you recommend? What are the top things for visiting geocachers to do while they're visiting Cincinnati?
We've kind of kept that in mind because almost all the geocaching events the week of Woodstock, Tuesday through Friday, are all in the evening. The weekend before, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and even Monday, I can't disclose yet. Some of that's still slightly pending, but I'm extremely partial to the Cincinnati Zoo, Newport Aquarium. I would hit the art museum. Just, if you don't even get into art, I don't as much. My wife, though, does. But to go see the terracotta mm-hmm. statues, warrior statues from China, sign me up. Yeah. I mean, where else are you going to go see this?
That's pretty amazing.
The butterfly show, honestly, I go to that every year. It sounds like a great girls' time out event. It's not, man. I mean, as a guy, I love it. It's so cool. You're a
photographer, that would be an amazing opportunity. But,
I did photography in school. Yeah. So as for the muggle side of things, that's where I'm at. I just got word, for anyone that gets into Underground Railroad Civil War, we built a geo trail in 2015 that, highlighted the Cincinnati's importance in such activities. And I got a phone call yesterday that we might be making something special happen again with that coming up, and it may come back to life. I'm hoping it's before Woodstock, it may be after, but my team is committed that if the opportunity becomes available, expect something big coming. Even not, if not, we are going to be listing some cool Underground Railroad and Civil War based sites that you can visit, you know, free or discounted. And it's going to be worth it.
Very cool.
Wow. Oh, by the way, almost everything here has a geocache by it. So mostly because they're ours. It's what we promote. It's what we do.
Nice.
Very cool. Yeah, that
sounds like some great museums. I know the National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting is there. That
it is.
That's on my list to see someday. So
I stop up there. It's going to be 25 minutes from the event venue, depending on where you're staying. Your hotel might be next to it. Nice. If you go to the Donut Trail Geo Tour, it's literally right in the middle of the Donut Tour.
Okay. Nice.
So, yeah. If you get into like firefighters, baseball, anything like that, we have the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame Museum here, which they invented professional baseball. The Firemen's Museums here, which Cincinnati had the first professional firefighter organization.
Did they invent fire?
You know, no, we're not that cool. Okay. So, but on Friday night, we'll be inventing some fire.
Ooh.
Yeah, bonfire. So,
yep. Nice. You know, you'd said come early, but I think we just write off the whole month of May.
It's worth it.
I'm just going to go tomorrow.
Wow. That's incredible. Now, you had already touched on some events, some you can't mention as of yet. So we're going to be holding our breath there. But yep. There's got to be other events as well going on in and around Geo Woodstock. Is it possible also to fit in one or two more if people wanted to create their own?
Not really. We've worked really hard to craft a schedule that we think that will be best fitted to be able to handle the crowds and provide the unique experience that we want to provide the attendees. And so, you know, if you go and get a cache published, you know, an event listing, be ready for, let's say, 1,000 people to show up, because who knows, it's a giga. Mm-hmm. And you're putting an event right next to it. Now, it may be cool to have an event, own an event listing with that many attends, but the feedback from cashers getting their cars towed, not as much fun. and you know, in Cincinnati, downtown Cincinnati, a parking ticket's $45. You have 7 days to pay. It goes to $90, and then they will, no joke, suspend your license. So, you know, if you want to do something, reach out to us. Maybe we can fit it in our schedule, but yeah, I would not personally suggest it. Just my opinion.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That is really good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got all these great places to visit. We've got things for the non-geocachers. We've got things for geocachers. But, you know, there's also a segment of geocachers that, especially at a big event like this, like to get as many icons in a day as they can. What do you think is reasonable now? And I mean, we're adding Giga, which is a whole new icon that most of us don't have. How many icons do you think people can get in a day, and what's the best way to plan it?
Without leaving the greater Cincinnati region, of the available active icons, you will not be able to get Mega, obviously. You will not be able to get a regular event icon because, you know, event stacking rules, just the closest event's going to be way too, you're not going to want to come log the Giga, leave. It's just not going to work for you. That is, at least unless your entire goal is to get icons. And with that, you're probably not going to get a Saito icon and webcam. So, those four, but you know, if you do want to stack some icons on your Giga day, you can get Giga, you can get all the other active caches, you can get one of the things I think is the coolest thing is a benchmark, so people never think about it. We always like to promote benchmarking, so yeah, you're going to be able to get a lot of lab caches, about 30 of them if you want.
There you go.
Nice.
30 lab caches, that's a lot of lab caches.
Oh, yeah.
So, Jesse, this obviously sounds really exciting, and there's probably still a lot of people, believe it or not, who may not have signed up yet. Is it too late if somebody wants to come?
No. Come all the way up till the day before, but or the day of. Why not? I wouldn't come to the day after. if you want to sign up, jump on, throw your will of 10, do a registration. You know, even if it's free, it really helps us figure out some things of estimated parking. It's mm-hmm. There's all sorts of stuff. You know, we don't have any shortage of parking. We have no shortage of food, but it gives us a better idea, and it's better to shoot high than low on everything. You know, right now, Scott just let me know. He reminded me today we have a backlog of nearly 24 registrations that are waiting for upgrades from whatever they registered as to VIP.
Oh,
the VIP has been so extremely high. It has blown my mind. And I didn't realize it. And then everyone's like, hey, did you not realize the good deal you put together? I was like, of course I did, but I didn't realize it was that. A couple other people explain it to me is they want to be able to get it all, remember it, enjoy it. Hey, Jim, I understand that. You know what? It's I'm the same way. I'm typically the last one to register for any hotels, you know. The week of, I'm like, man, I bet they closed Block. Now I got to find something. I seriously sit and debate on which package. I always end up going a VIP, whatever event I go to. And then I get everyone else, you know, we always travel in a group to events, and then, you know, they get like the free and $5 ones, and we split everything. Sure. But no, I get it. It's debating the packages. Yeah.
Well, how many packages are there? Are there many levels? What do they mean exactly?
You know, I'm going to pull it up right now because that's a question that we've been getting a lot about is the registration packages. We have a kids pack. By the way, most mega events has never really done a kids pack. We wanted to introduce it. I don't think a Woodstock's ever done it before. Amber as a designer took, you know, the Cincinnati mascot of a flying pig, worked with a drawstring backpack manufacturer in China that one of our employees found for us. We do actually have an employee in China that does work for us. So she's on the Chamber of Commerce. So, you know, we have great business ties there. And so we found this factory that's literally making a drawstring backpack that's a flying pig.
Wow.
You know, we have a copper package that includes unlimited rides or swim ban. You get a First to Find magazine special edition lanyard. I don't have it sitting here. It was on another show, but our lanyard has a bottle opener on it. You know, we just wanted to, you know, make it a fun, available time for everyone. The bronze package throws in some stuff, event path tag, the GeoCoin T-shirt, and it goes up from there. On the silver package, $70. You start getting some other swag. You get a meal ticket. You get a dry bag. Kelly also found us a company that makes a dry bag like you find in outdoor sporting goods stores, branding it Geo Woodstock. $100 package has a lot of cool stuff. When you get to VIP, we've not even honestly even listed everything in there. We have a handful of more stuff that's going in that. So when you look at that listing, you go, holy snap, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my team counted it out at 38 items.
Wow.
$195, 138 items. And that's just what we have listed.
So, Jesse, just to make sure that I understand, like, access to the event is anywhere from free to mm-hmm. a VIP package at whatever the cost is for that. And it sounds like there's like a dozen options in between there.
Yeah.
And so really what the difference is a combination of either swag or other benefits like the wristbands for unlimited.
Yeah. The free is the only one that doesn't get a wristband. We are taking a slight on every $10 package, and we wanted to keep it at a good round dollar amount that we felt that, you know, anyone could probably find and afford. We're taking slight loss on the $10 package, but that even has an unlimited rides wristband in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow. Now, people who listen to the show, our loyal listeners, hey, know.
Real quick, UDAC, yes. Sorry, I did not mean to interrupt. I'm reading chat room. I'm such a jerk. UDAC, yeah, there is a. CVG has been, I've been getting a lot of comments from people booking flights, surprised at the price of the airline tickets coming into Greater Cincinnati. The airport code is CVG. As for hotels, we are working, I think it's 47 hotels. Plus we rented a county fairgrounds for camping. If you look on any of the facebook.com/geowoodstock, all the posts there has a link to the hotels. Camping registration, look there, you'll find some available stuff.
So there are still, I get to UDAC's question, if there's any plane tickets or hotels left, there's plenty.
Yeah, for now. we've already had a number of hotels sell out.
Wow.
And there's some others that's on the border.
Right. Wow. Well, and you know, just on that topic for ourselves, we were looking at it and we were looking at flying from Vancouver up here down into the Cincinnati airport. Was the prices weren't great.
Okay.
For us Canadians, but we were looking at other options and we realized what we could do is we can make a hashtag geocache road trip out of it. We're actually flying into Toronto, renting a car, driving down through New York State and Pennsylvania and into Ohio. So it's going to be awesome. We're going to see Niagara Falls.
That's awesome.
And just have a great time. So that's why we're getting in a little bit, like we're getting in right before the event, but we're making a road trip out of it. So.
Dude, that's awesome. You're going to love that.
Hope so, yeah.
That is,
yeah, there's actually a really cool cache you'll be passing by. We went to on the way to ASP. It's a mega event. It's the weekend before Geo Woodstock. And this guy builds like these works of art out of metal. They're in his yard. There's a cache there. I don't even know what it is. I'm not looking it up. I'm horrible at that. But look at him. You know, I logged ASP and then it was somewhere in like Pennsylvania. But yeah, there's some cool things to see. There's the Eternal Flame. Check that out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's in New York. So just travel trips and tips.
Awesome. Thanks, Jesse.
Nice. So if we sign up for one of the packages and we say, boy, you know, I this is the package I can afford, but I really want, you know, that coin, that T-shirt, that something that's in a higher level. Is there a chance that they can get those?
As long as they're not VIP exclusives, we have made everything available via a la carte, excluding the VIP exclusives. Now, there are still things that's not posted yet. We are about to launch and announce the Friends of Geo Woodstock. You know, we've had a lot of people reaching out, hey, how can we support the event, the word? I didn't mean for it to get out, but I might as well share it now because it's got out. Geo Woodstock this year is running close to a break even on, you know, the registration packages. If you look what's in them, any mega hosts look at it, they realize it's either break even or close to loss. Since we produce a lot of stuff, we were able to work that price down and do it as a break even. There's other cool stuff that we still want to bring and finish securing in that has costs. So our Friends of Geo Woodstock, I think, will be announced this weekend. We're waiting for the finalized artwork back on it so that we can put it in production and put it in people's hands. But it's going to be something cool that's not been done before, at least so I've seen. There's still cool stuff coming.
Wow, very cool. And as you said, as long as it's not an exclusive item, you can, yep, through the online store, buy ahead to get things like maybe the patch,
oh, yeah,
like that if you're a collector.
Yep. Yeah, you know, we didn't want to do things like water bottles. You know, how many times have people got a water bottle and I'm like, cool, it's another water bottle. I'm not bashing it. I'm just, personally, I don't get excited about it. But, you know, when it's something like a patch, a button, a lapel pin, something that, you know, you can wear, people seem to really enjoy that. And so we geared all of our non-trackable swag towards wearables.
Nice. Very cool.
That's a great idea.
So, Jesse, another question for you. So, you know, I've already tipped my hand to my travel plans, and we're not going to arrive early, which it sounds like if we had known, we probably would have changed things up, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But for folks like us who maybe can't arrive early before the event, but can hang out for some days afterwards, you know, we know about things like the Donut Trail Geo Tour and things like that, but are there going to be any opportunities left to earn the coins after the first 3,000 geocachers go through and do all these things?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. We're working with a lot of the organizations right now on what they expect to order for coins. And, you know, they're all, because they all have budgets. You would never believe how hard it is for park districts, you know, no matter how much money they have or how little, which most of the time it's the little amount. Universities, we're working with a university on a huge project right now that's never been done, ever. And it's going to be cool. What to share it.
Well, you can always come.
I can just say something about Earth caching, geotours, combining, you know, I don't know, just saying, a geology department working on stuff. You know, for them to, you know, it's, even if they have the money sitting there in hand, they have to look at what their predefined budget set last year before they knew Woodstock or anything was coming, how they can spend it, you know, versus what they can do in June, because now it's all of a sudden, or July, it's a new fiscal year kind of deal. You know, a lot of the trails around here are looking at the first 100 coins they'll probably give out, which will go lightning fast, and then provide additional coins close to cost, maybe make a couple dollars per piece. And literally every single one, they've said that the reason that they would want to make a couple dollars per piece is to raise the cost to cover the geotour costs, the cost incurred for designing, minting, things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's literally to roll right back into the community.
Okay. So if I understood you correctly, Jesse, what you're saying is that for things like, so let's talk about like specifically the Butler Trail Geotour, or Donut Trail Geotour, which is,
I have nothing to do with it, but it will be in place.
But it'll be in place. It's a super popular one, right? And obviously thousands of people are going to do it. They're going to run out of coins. But what you're saying is that maybe some of those folks are going to actually have some sort of announcement or program in place where if you did complete the Geotour, you can buy the coin afterwards. Yep. What that does, it helps.
And if coins run out, if coins run out, turn in your passport, pay it if there's a fee, whatever. And then when they come in, they will ship out. So that's our plan. Because you know what? When you have, we're expecting now excess of 10,000 heads, more than 5,000 households. Our paid registrations have exceeded 2,300. We have a map that we're going to be releasing probably this week, and we map where all the paid registration orders with paid registrations have come from in the world. Afghanistan, Brazil, Argentina, New Zealand, all over Europe, all over North America, Mexico. Russia, Korea, Japan. And these are paid registrations that is coming to the system from people that's planning to attend. There's going to be no way to keep enough inventory on hand for trails and tours and other stuff. We're just going to have to go to a back order.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
But they will all be in place and available.
Now that sounds like all the same places our listeners come from.
Yeah.
To this probably. Little regional podcast. Yeah. Now you mentioned briefly at the beginning, there's going to be a meet and greet for podcasters and geocaching media. Do you have an idea of who's going to be there? Who can our listeners go and see?
We're resolving some of that right now because we have some special guests coming in that some that are not even announced yet that we're finalizing details on. And for one reason or another, there might be security concerns. There might be other things. So we are looking – you're the first to now hear this. We are now looking at potentially two meet and greet booths, one dedicated in the VIP area exclusively for VIPs. The other one in the general vicinity, where that, you know, the entire community has a chance to meet and greet there. You know, we have a lot of support coming from the geocaching media people and the personalities, podcasters, YouTubers, things like this, that's going to sign up. We have designers, coin designers. Chris Mackey's working on a schedule right now. I'm going to force him in there. I don't know. I'll find a way to bribe him, beer or something. JP Barr, Thomas Evgen. We have, you know, some really cool designers coming in. Amber's going to be spending time in there. We're looking at bringing in some of our staff from China. So you can actually, you know, people that get into coins, if you ever wanted to meet some, you know, the person that actually, you know, manages, you know, the division that makes the molds and, you know, they get CNC'd and then someone comes by and uses a hand chisel to do any fine details that might need a physical touch to it. You know, you want to learn about these. You know what, Brian? If someone in chat just said Hugh Jackman. Not yet. I'll be honest. No, not yet. But there is another person right on that celebrity list right next to his name that we're working with right now. We have two people off the 2015 geocaching celebrity list that we're still waiting to finalize the final details. One of them, the problem is they're booked Saturday night on the West Coast. So, yeah, it's a pain. I'm not answering anymore. he's now starting to drop tons of names.
Oh, yeah, they're going to do that.
And then he gives the link to it. Love chat. It's funny, when I did all the interviews for MOGA 2016, I never realized there was chat and people's like talking and I was a jerk and ignored them because I didn't know. Now I'm just distracted by the squirrels everywhere. But what was I even talking about?
Squirrels.
Oh, the people to meet. So, we've just announced two really big hit, speakers, West Virginia Tim's coming in. He's doing a talk about the migration from gadget caches to smart caches. He's going to be serving time in the meet and greet booth. Dr. Kurt Yeager, chief explosives expert for the FBI. I'm bringing him into the VIP exclusive meet and greet booth. I hope everyone understands why on that. It's a profile thing, unfortunately. There's some just really cool opportunities coming. Wish I could say more about it.
There you go. That sounds like that's pretty awesome. I've seen a little bit of some of the back chat on the vloggers and podcasters, and everybody's really, really excited about the opportunities to be there and interact with some of the other folks who maybe listen to them or watch them that they've never had a chance to talk to them.
Hey, Sunny and Sandy will be there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Oh, I just seen someone mention that in chat. I believe that you're part of that. You're in that, Geo Woodstock media team. And then, from there, a lot of them broke out and, has been working independently. We have, I just got news of some cool projects that we may be helping put together before Woodstock to be available there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough to keep up with all the chats, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
I literally have people that call me and go, hey, here's an update on this chat. And I'm like, I just haven't even opened the bubble.
Yeah. Well, there's so much to talk about and so much to discuss. We could probably go on for hours, but unfortunately, our podcast is limited time. So remind us, after this podcast is over, where could people go to find out more about Geo Woodstock 2018?
The number one spot is Facebook, facebook.com/GeoWoodstock. If you don't have Facebook, geowoodstock.us. The GC listing is GC5AX15. The best information resource really is Facebook. We have by the way, for people that might be confused, may not be as Facebook savvy, there's two things you really want to look for on Facebook. Number one, there is the G Woodstock Facebook page that I just said. And then there's also what's called the, I believe it's Geo Woodstock Community Group. Gee, what's Doc 2? Let me look. Because this is probably your best bet to be able to post something and get real-time feedback. Awesome. It's the Geo Woodstock 2018 community group, and it has 2,700 members in it, and it's really active.
Wow.
That'll get Giga status soon. Just the Facebook group.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, a matter of fact, there's still, you know, I'm... since we've been here, there's people like posting and chatting and going through stuff. I mean, that group does not sleep.
Nice. Jesse, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to us about Geo Woodstock. I mean, you know, I'm really excited for it. I know the monkeys are. I think even Wits End is excited for it.
Yeah.
See? He is.
So are you all three coming? Just out of curiosity, not sure yet?
Not sure yet for me.
Yeah, work schedules may not permit it, but sure going to try.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And for Mrs. Land Monkey and myself, we're definitely coming. Got all our hotel and car and flights all booked. So
awesome.
Definitely.
Make sure to say hi to me. I will be easy to spot. I do really honestly wear a big gold crown at every event.
You would think that would help, but from some of the experiences I've had at mega events, yeah, it might not help.
Well, you know, it's funny because I did professional gaming for a little while. I'm not even much of a gamer. But the people I gamed with, the Japanese people, gave me the nickname King AFK because I was never, ever at my keyboard, even as a professional gamer.
I was wondering if that's where the name came from. Okay. Yeah,
so they gave it to me and I accepted it. And so I just started using it in everything, made my geocaching accounts, and my wife and her sister bought a crown. And when we went to like our first or second event, they put it on my head, and people's just ever since then look for that. I'm like, it. So yeah,
well, we'll definitely look for you.
Definitely. Cool. Well, right. Listeners, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to this show, and we hope you enjoyed this episode. Now, next week, you know, this, we're not done. We're coming back next week, and next week we're working on challenge caches with Rock Chalk. Now, if you don't know challenge caches like Rock Chalk knows challenge caches, you're going to have to listen to this episode. This is an incredible guy. And he's only talking as a geocacher. He's not talking wearing his geocaching.com HQ hat. So it'll be a different side of Rock Chalk than you've seen before. After that, we're talking about keeping your caching gear organized.
Very cool. I can't wait for that one. I need to be more organized.
Don't we all?
Well, we've got plenty more shows planned out for you guys coming up after that, but we had to do some rejigging in the schedule, so we only just wanted to give you the next two, which we definitely have confirmed. So look forward to those, and you know what? While I'm talking, I also want to make sure that I thank our faithful Denali-level supporters. Those are Bounce Bounce, Team Squirrel, and WorldCaching.com. And folks, reminder that if you want to know more about supporting this great show, click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. And now, the moment no one's been waiting for, I will read through all the other patrons who make sure that this show keeps coming every week. And that is B Pendragon, Broncos Fan for Life, Sprouter, Camp Clan, Tick Magnet, Kev MacD, Subway Mark, Doramore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Acker Doc, OBX Geek, Billy Robson, Nice, Antaeus Keats 94. Wow, that list is getting long.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we thank each and every one of you.
Absolutely. But there's room for more.
It's always room for more.
It's like the Thanksgiving table. There's always room for one more.
That's right. So, as Chris of the Northwest mentioned, we will be back next week. But between now and next week, maybe somebody out there wants to reach out, get in touch with us, ask us a question, leave us a comment. Where, oh, where on the interwebs, on the great worldwide webs, could people get in touch with us? And let's throw it out to our guest first. Jesse, how would you like people to reach out and connect with you? Oh, he's muted. You're muted, sir.
Sorry about that.
There you are.
No, I was just saying, don't bother. I'm horrible at follow-up. Ask anyone on my team. No, if you want to message me and look up AFK Geocaching or GeoWoodstock on Facebook, message the page, and that's typically the easiest way. Honestly, message the GeoWoodstock, and Scott will track me down and follow up. So that's the best bet right now in my life, considering how much we have going on.
Busy, busy, busy. I get it. Somebody else that's also busy is the Land Monkeys. Where could they find you, sir?
Yeah, not as busy as AFK, but, you know, we keep pretty busy there. And, of course, always check our blog at landmonkey.blogspot.ca. There's often new articles on there, and we try to keep it relevant and interesting. But, of course, we always encourage people to follow us. Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, at landmonkeygc. And, of course, new videos come out every once in a while on YouTube, our channel there. Just search Land Monkey, LANMONKEY, on YouTube. Nice. With that, my friend, where do people find you?
Well, in the world of busy, it just keeps going down to me. I'm even less busy. But you could reach out and connect with me, Twitter, Facebook, geocaching.com. I get messages there. I'm horrible and pathetic at responding to a lot of messages. I admit it fully. But I see everything that's sent to me, and I appreciate it all. So reach out and connect, and I will try. I don't promise I will return messages, but I will try. Chris of the Northwest, how about you?
Well, according to your statement, I am the least busy of any of you.
Oh, I don't know about that.
So don't even bother, because, you know, I don't have anything else to do.
do you even leave the camera?
Not on Thursday evenings. No, I don't. Look for me anywhere you can find Caching NW. You know, Twitter and Facebook is where I spend the most time. But you know what you should do? You should head on over to cachingnw.com/hosts. Read our bios. Find all the links that we just mentioned. And maybe you find a little tidbit you weren't too sure about.
Yeah, it happened.
But most of all, we want to say thank you. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. You can be part of the show. You can call 253-693-TFTC and leave us a comment, ask us a question, or offer us a ride to Geo Woodstock. Of course, you can email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. And don't forget that your support helps keep quality shows coming. If you like this show, click on the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and many more. The show's produced by Chris Umfenauer and Jay Kennedy, hosted by Chris J. and Jim Paulwitz. The show's licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2018 by Chris Umfenauer. And folks, we invite you to stay for
the after show.
Wow. There's not a lot in the after show. In fact, this show has run longer than we have for some shows and after shows.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing. There is so much to cover about a Giga event, the first Giga event in the U.S. Jesse, if you have to leave, we completely understand. If not, the after show is an opportunity for us just to have some informal chat with those who are watching live. They've posted questions for us.
Oh.
And
hey, I can stick.
And we answer them, you know, in an informal manner. We don't know what they're going to be. Sometimes they take off in a different path than we expect. But
that's awesome. Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate you hanging out.
Yeah, we start with Team Finn, who a couple of weeks ago said he couldn't stay late because he had a paper due for his English teacher.
Yeah, I think he was actually looking for feedback on that paper.
Oh, that's right.
Through the chat, so he's a sucker for punishment.
He said his English teacher hasn't graded his essay yet, so he still has an A in the class, at least for now.
For now.
Yep. Hey, we had, it's not in our chat right now, but Bounce Bounce had posed a question, and I threw it out there on Twitter earlier this evening. The question is, for everybody, how do you feel about spoiler photos on cache pages or in logs?
What are your
thoughts? How else am I supposed to find a cache?
Well, it's funny, I was thinking the same thing.
So Bounce Bounce, Jesse, you may not have context, but Bounce Bounce out here in the Northwest hides some really high quality, very cool, mm-hmm. Techno gadget caches.
Yeah.
like nearly to the level of WV Tim.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I would say at that level.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, it's they're incredible.
Wow. Yeah, it's I gadget caches, I like puzzle caches. I get so frustrated with, I don't know. So I like spoiler pictures.
There you go.
Okay. Now, I immediately say boo. However, there have been times I've used those spoiler pictures. I'm sitting there looking for it. And I can't find the thing. I, you know, after, well more than 10 minutes, but that's another topic. You know, half an hour, 45 minutes. Like, you know, I've come too far. I've hiked too long or driven too far. I'm going to stay and find this. And I start looking through, you know, the pictures. And, you know, sometimes you see a picture of the logbook and you go, oh, wait. That's the tree that picture was taken in front of. Okay, so it's in this area. Okay,
you're hitting on exactly what I like. So I don't necessarily want a picture of the cache itself.
Right.
In fact, I will say I don't want a picture of the cache itself. But if picture taken in and around Ground Zero, so then it's like a hint you can look at if you're really stuck and you go, okay, just as exactly as you were saying, Chris, like, okay, I see that tree with the other tree crossing it in the stump. And sometimes when you're way out on these trails where there's no cell reception and your GPS reception is going to be off by 20 to 30 meters because it's because of the northwest tree cover, those can help a lot. And, you know, in fact, on our last hike last weekend, there was a couple of caches where without those, we might not have even found the caches.
And sometimes just being able to see the size of the container. You know, it may be a small or, you go, oh, but it's that shape. Okay. So that means it's got to be, you know, hidden this way.
I hear what you're saying, but I'd still rather not see a photo of the container. I love the idea of just show me the approximate area that I should be searching if I'm really stuck.
Well, how about if it's just in someone's comment where they've attached it where that you actually have to go looking for the picture versus it's in the cache listing. And easily available.
Right. So attached to the log as opposed
to attached to your logged comment.
Yeah. And I think that's what Bounce was getting at. Like if people are posting now, I would say for Bounce caches, at least the ones I found. Now I haven't found all his caches, but I found some of his more higher favorite point caches. For his caches, I don't think spoiler pictures I would rather not. I would rather have the surprise of when I get there and see the amazing thing he's done. But because usually it's not a huge problem to find them.
Right.
At least, again, just for the ones I've found, maybe there's other ones I don't know about. But for some of these other ones, you know, for most general caches, even if they're a tricky hideout in the woods and what have you, I'd rather not see the container. I'd rather see the area. And I like what Jesse's saying. You know, just if somebody attaches in their logs, I'm okay with that. But Bounce was asking the question for exactly that reason. Like, should he be stripping them, the photos, out of people's logs when they're posting the photos or just leave them?
Now, I will disclaimer, though, I did have an experience where the picture did ruin the experience for me a little bit. And it was because it wasn't that it was a hard to find cache, but the actual cache container was super cool. And I was looking, you know, I'm in Florida and I'm navigating slightly the wrong way. It's getting dark. No, I passed a gator recently. I mean, I'm out of my element. I'm from Cincinnati. And so I'm looking, I'm like, okay, wonder if there's just a picture here. And then in the picture that actually helped get me to the right spot, the person accidentally included the cache container and it was like, okay. And it was a cache medic. So anyone in Tampa area, Florida knows the cache medic hides. They're phenomenal, and it's all about the container lots of times.
Mm.
So, you know, I guess I do disclaimer that.
There you go. Stark Caches says, I like spoiler pictures on other owners' caches, but not on mine.
See, I'm the opposite way. If the local community stopped, you know, asking us for hints on our hides, because if you text me, call me, and I'll tell you exactly where it is, the kind of pit, you know, the container – I just ruin it. I'm like, I don't know. Here you go. So I'm the opposite way.
There you go. Well, that was interesting. So yeah, hopefully Bounce got, hopefully he got the answer he was looking for there.
Well, and as the cash owner, he can decide. He can say, no, I don't want this picture. Out it goes. And that's, you know, his prerogative. So.
Yeah.
We got a question from IHAM. It's a loaded question. It says, cashers too eager to use the needs archived log.
Like for having a party?
Yeah, yeah. No, not quite a party.
Bad podcaster.
Yeah. Okay, we did it once. No more, okay, we're done.
No more archive parties.
Okay. I mean, you know, we did it. Nobody else has. So that puts us...
Another Caching the Northwest original.
Exactly. maybe not in the good way, but yeah. we had a chat, IHAM, Witsend and I, this week. Somebody put in needs archived on one of his logs because they couldn't find the cache.
Well, clearly, dear geocache guy.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
if I can't find it, it needs archived. Wow. Somebody actually watched Dear Geocache Guy and did what he told them to, it sounds like.
Exactly.
That's scary.
Yeah. Seeker with not a huge number of finds claimed had found this one before. It's definitely not there. Something to that effect.
And therefore, it needs archived. No maintenance. Yeah.
Just no maintenance, just archived.
Okay.
I had a little free time the next day. Happened to have a bison tube. I thought, I'm going to be nice. I'll make a trip up there. Only to find the original cache hiding right where it should be.
Just saying.
Just saying. And yeah.
Just saying.
Geocaching.com has made it more difficult to use the needs maintenance and needs archived.
Yeah, I think that was a really good move.
You have to go through steps. So it was just one of those things. Like,
okay. IHAM says he's blaming me. Is that because I have promoted the concept of if I can't find a cache, it should be archived?
Well, yeah.
It wasn't the monkey. It was your geocache guy. They're two different people.
Somehow the two of us keep getting confused.
I don't know. It happens.
Dear geocache guy dresses so much nicer.
There is an uncanny resemblance, but
he's the good twin.
You're the evil twin, are you?
So yeah, I haven't said cashier's too eager to use the needs archive logged, which Breilang immediately followed up with cashier's not willing to use the needs archive log.
Not sure what that scenario would be.
Well, you know, there are times where you find a piece of the cache and that's all, and it's like, you know, I'm going to put it needs maintenance because, you know, I only think it needs archived if the location is no longer available. Like it was in a tree and the tree fell over or, you know, there's construction or something to that extent. Anything else can be maintenanced. I just made that a verb.
There you go. I'm just looking at the video feed and I love the fact that Jesse, because AFK is his moniker. So Jesse, I was just saying that it's awesome that when you actually go AFK, your screen says AFK.
Yeah. Does it really?
Yeah. Because that's your Google Hangout moniker. So yeah.
I know.
That's funny. That amused me. Nerdy amusements. Cool. What else we got going on, guys?
Well, as always, Team Finn and their monthly meetings. Guys, thank you for doing this. This is I don't know how many months this has been going on since, like, you know.
About a billion.
Yeah, since 1972.
Yeah.
They've had a monthly meetup. This one is on Thursday. It's National Make Up Your Own Holiday Day. Because, you know, reasons. Yeah. So join us Thursday before caching in the Northwest in Fairwood. I would like to tell you what the GC code is, but I can't.
So is that, are they going to watch the show after that then?
Oh.
Stream it live from the event?
Oh. Mm. Maybe some of us ought to go to that event.
March is month 15, by the way.
Oh, okay. Posted. How do you know that?
It's in the chat that you don't want
to thank for that. Very cool.
So... there you go. 15 months in a row.
G GC code is GC7JCJF.
There you go.
There you go.
Team Very Finn cool. always does a great job at yeah. those events. Nice. You know, 14 previous events with good reports. I'm going to guess the 15th is going to be good as well.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, we probably run out of stuff. We're going to just about wrap it up.
I think so.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, as we do that, I want to maybe just tip my hand a little bit at May 6th for those in the Northwest, particularly in the near the British Columbia border area. City of Richmond is partnering with us May 6th to put on a cool, fun event. We're going to have a what we're calling Cash Con. More details coming very soon. We're hoping to get we had some venue issues we had to sort out, but you know, nowhere near a Geo Woodstock kind of style event. But we're going to have different speakers from parks and first aid folks and all kinds of stuff to give you all kinds of great tips and training on how to get out there, have fun, get home safe. So
I love that.
Yeah, so keep your eyes open for that, folks. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Folks, until next week, make sure you get out and get caching in the Northwest.